Hi, Royals fans. This is J.J. Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official health care provider of the Kansas City Royals. Get the major league care you deserve at kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
Gerritsen and Toth presents The Shift with Jack Johnson on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM and 94.5 FM.
It is Thursday, and it's another edition of The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. I'm your host, Jack Johnson, alongside producer Jake Gutierrez. Lots of football once again today. Of course, we got Thursday night football, an AFC West matchup between the Chargers and the Raiders. We're going to run the spread, and we're going to give a quick preview into the Chiefs game against New England. That is to be coming up on Sunday at noon. I mean, of course, it shouldn't be that long of a breakdown. You're not playing a very good team. But are we concerned? How do we see this game going down? What are the three keys to beat a team like the New England Patriots? Don't look ahead of Bill Belichick's bunch. We'll get into that toward the end of the show. But to kick off the show, as we do every single Thursday, Jake and I are going to run the spread, pick every single game on the NFL slate, beginning with that Thursday night matchup between the Chargers and the Raiders. Both teams 5-8. Both teams are not making the postseason this year. Raiders, a 3-point favorite in Vegas. The total at 34.5. There's really no need to tune into this game tonight. I think in the past you could have said it's fun to watch Justin Herbert play football. He's no longer playing. He is out for the year with a broken finger, so it is going to be Easton Stick making his first career NFL start, I believe it is. Funny enough, Stick last played in 2020. Actually, it looks like he did come into a game. That would have been last week, actually. We took over for Herbert. So, first career start, not first appearance since 2020. But he threw one pass back in 2020, hadn't played until last week when Justin Herbert got hurt. So it's going to be Easton Stick versus Aiden O'Connell. And the Raiders, on the heels of a three-game losing streak, they didn't score last week. They lost 3-0 to Josh Dobbs and Nick Mullins of the Minnesota Vikings. The Chargers, they have won just one time in their last five games. And that one win came against the New England Patriots. Denver last week beat them 24-7. I almost feel like you can't go wrong picking one of these teams to lose. I'm not even going to say to win. One of these teams is going to have a ghastly performance. We just know that. I mean, I could say let's roll with the Raiders because Aiden O'Connell's had more games under his belt. They didn't score last week against Minnesota. And I could pick the Chargers, but do I trust Easton Stick in the way that they've been playing so banged up all year long? Little note on top of this, Keenan Allen's not playing tonight. So the number one wide receiver is a kid who can't catch the football in Quentin Johnston for Easton Stick. With all those injuries, a horrific head coach, and you're playing on the road, give me Vegas here. I don't feel good about it, but I am going to use that crutch of Aiden O'Connell has played a little bit more in the NFL than Easton Stick has. So give me the Raiders minus the points. What say you, Jake?
Oof. You know what? I'll go on the other side. the Raiders being shut out with a soccer score of 3-0 to the Minnesota Vikings last week. They're only averaging 12 points a game this month, the Raiders are. And so, look, the best player on the field will be Davante Adams. They can't get the ball to him. Second-best player, Austin Eckler. I'm going to go with Austin Eckler showing some signs of life last week.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a brutal game. I think if I had to put my own money on this game, I think the under might be the play. But if I'm picking sides against the spread, I'll go ahead and lay it against the Chargers. So the Chargers are getting 3 points. So I'll take all 3 points in the Chargers.
Well, I remember 1 week ago when we were talking about the total on Thursday Night Football. We got New England and Pittsburgh, and that was almost as easy as it could come at the under, and it was shattered in the first half. It's weird like that in the NFL. You never really know. But I feel like it would be free money to take the under tonight with two really bad quarterbacks.
Yeah.
First game on Sunday will be the Vikings and the Bengals. Bengals at home, Paycor Stadium, 3-point favorite. Once again, we have backup quarterback versus backup quarterback. It's going to be Mullins for Minnesota and Jake Browning, who's looked really good since taking over for Joe Burrow with his season-ending injury. I'm going to keep saying this every single week to close out the year. The Bengals are playing for their lives here, which I think has made them a little bit more dangerous, just like Buffalo last week. More desperate. And you look at their next two matchups, they're going to get Pittsburgh on the road next week. It's a divisional matchup. It's on the road. Can always be tough. And then they got to go to Arrowhead and take on Kansas City. This kind of feels like a look-ahead game. And this is a good defense they're going up against. Well, let's throw that out there. The Vikings do have a good defense. And backup quarterbacks, as Jake and I discussed yesterday, there's always that game they hit a wall. Backup quarterbacks don't just thrive all season long, at least not at the NFL level. Eventually, you hit a wall. If this was a 6 or 7 point spread, which would never happen with a backup quarterback, but if it was, I'd take the Vikings plus the points here. I think it is going to be a little bit closer than people expect, but I can't go against Jake Browning right now. That offense looks too good. They've been high-flying. Guys are staying healthier, and the Cincinnati defense is finding ways to force turnovers. Get the ball back to Jake Browning and let him cook. Minnesota, you're just going to have to hope that Jake Browning has a really bad game because I don't see how your offense is going to keep up, even with a backup quarterback here. I mean, Mullins, Dobbs, no matter who plays in this one, I'm not sure how you're going to have a high-velocity type of attack. Last time you scored more than 20 points was 4 weeks ago. 20 against Denver, 10 against Chicago, 3 against the Raiders. As for the Bengals, they've scored 34 the last 2 weeks. So give me Cincinnati, going to roll with the home team again. I don't see Jake Browning struggling until next week against Pittsburgh and the week after that against Kansas City. So I think the Bengals should be fine this upcoming Sunday.
I'm with you on that. I got the laying the points with the Bengals. Look, I have zero faith in Nick Mullins taking over for Joshua Dobbs. The Vikings are going to try to run the ball and hang in there, and I have zero faith in Alexander Mattison. Also, Browning, you know, you mentioned that Vikings defense, which is a solid defense, and they're going to blitz from everywhere. And Browning has a great, I guess it would be yards per drop back, only second to Brock Purdy since week 11.
Mm.
And so he's also 13 of 21. With the 61.9 percentage for 201 yards and 3 touchdowns and no interceptions against the blitz since replacing Joe Burrow. So Browning proving he can handle the blitz. He's pretty good against the blitz, and he's going to see a lot of it. So with that being said, I have no faith in the Vikings, who somehow managed a 3-point win over the Raiders last week, as we mentioned previous, but it was 3-0. So very little faith in the Vikings. I'm laying all 3 points against them with the Bengals.
I would love to see what the odds are if you could bet on another game this weekend ending 3-0. What the odds are. It hadn't happened since 2007. Imagine what the odds would be for another game this week being 3-0. It'd have to be tonight. If you were putting money down, it'd have to be the game tonight. But would the Raiders be a team back-to-back weeks, 3-0?
It'd be a ridiculously high. I mean...
You could retire.
I was going to say probably half a million maybe to one.
Well, let's hope we don't see another 3-0 game for eternity in the NFL because that football sucks. Up next, we got the Steelers and the Colts. The Colts at home is a 1.5-point favorite. Both these teams coming off, I would say, really bad losses in the playoff hunt. Pittsburgh, they're lost right now. I mean, they got to play Dorian Thompson-Robinson, Jake Browning, Kyler Murray, and Bailey Zappe. In the last 4 weeks, they have one win. Surprisingly, against the best quarterback in that bunch, at least playing-wise right now. That's Jake Browning. Indianapolis was red hot going into Paycor Stadium last week, but they lose by 20 points to Cincinnati. This spread feels a little bit low to me. I'm not sure why Vegas is doubting Indianapolis here. What has Pittsburgh done over the last 4 weeks that's impressed you? Their defense now is incredibly banged up. They've got no quarterback play. They can't run the football with Najee Harris. George Pickens is taking a step back, I feel like, over the last couple weeks. And I think Indianapolis is going to be just fine. You get back at home. Use Zach Moss as your workhorse. I have fingers crossed because he's on my fantasy team. But without Jonathan Taylor, you got a pass-catching weapon out of the backfield. You got Michael Pittman Jr., Gardner Minshew. Just don't make one too many mistakes. Should be fine in this one. I could see this being about 24-17 for Indianapolis. I think the offense gets back on track against Pittsburgh. So give me the Colts and the points.
Oof. I don't know. I think maybe what they see in the Steelers is how bad the Colts have been and how bad they're reeling. But 2-7-6 teams. Oh, man. I think I'm going to have to go on the opposite side of you again with the Steelers.
I like it.
I don't like Trubisky, but they still had a chance to win that game at the end of that last minute and a half, you know, and that, I don't even know what that play call was on fourth and short. Going deep for the first time all game in that situation, a horrible play call. I wish I knew kind of where the Steelers' defense would be. I mean, we know they got Watt, right? But he's cleared from concussion protocol. But Alex Highsmith, you don't know where he's going to be. That's a big guy on their defense. So I'm going with the Steelers hesitantly. I think it's more about what the Colts haven't been doing lately than what the Steelers have been. So I'll stick with that Steel Curtain defense going against the Colts.
All right.
On the road.
I like how many different games we have here. And I actually misspoke. I didn't think this was happening until next weekend. I think I said to kick us off on Sunday would be the Vikings and the Bengals. We get 2 days this weekend of NFL football.
Right.
A triple header on Saturday.
There's 6 standalone games this week.
Yeah, it's going to be incredible. Starting at noon, you'll get the Vikings and Bengals. That 3:30 game is the Steelers and the Colts. And the nightcap will be maybe the most fun game of the weekend. Denver and Detroit. Detroit has been slumping of late. They're a 4-point favorite at home, and Denver is right on Kansas City's heels, one game back in the AFC West. If you don't think it's super important this weekend for the Chiefs to take care of business, I think all eyes the night before are going to be in Detroit. Because if Denver finds a way to win this game, I feel like you're going to be sweating it out all the way to the end. Even though you get the Raiders at home the following week, that Cincinnati game becomes a lot more threatening. And maybe even that game against the Chargers with Easton Stick. I just don't know how much confidence I have that every game is going to be a blowout and easy path to 4 straight wins. Denver, on the other hand, I mean, you got to think at some point, they're going to take a step back. I mean, they started 1-5. Now 6-1 in their last 7. We haven't seen this from Denver since the Peyton Manning era. Been a truly ridiculous stretch. Last week, they hammered the Chargers 24-7 to bounce back from their Houston loss 22-17 the week before. Here's what I will say, though. Denver has been the beneficiary of backup quarterback play and a lot of mistakes over the last few weeks or so. You know, when you got Minnesota, backup quarterback, Cleveland, backup quarterback, you did get a starter for the Texans in Houston, but the way Houston came back was because C.J. Stroud got hurt near the end. Then you got Easton Stick for that game last week. If Jared Goff can stay healthy, and the Lions kind of know their back's not against the wall, but you don't want to limp into the postseason here. It's been a weird 4-week stretch. Hell, I'll go 5-week stretch, barely beating the Chargers on the road. Barely beat Chicago, lost to Green Bay, barely beat New Orleans, and then just lost to Chicago by 15 points. That, to me, was the wake-up call. You got to get back on track after losing to the Bears by 15 points. You know, I do think the way Justin Fields has been playing of late, he's a tougher matchup for that defense than Russell Wilson is. You got to take away his number one weapon, though, in Cortland Sutton. If you can do that, this Denver offense kind of stagnates a bit. So, for the fourth consecutive time, I'm going to take the home team here. I like the Lions and the points.
I'm with you on that. I like the Lions here. I think you get the Broncos coming off another short week on the road. The Lions can run the ball. They're, I think, second in the NFL with 5.3 yards per rush. And the Broncos have allowed 40.6% of their opponents have rushed to a gain of 5 or more yards during their 6-1 stretch. So even though they've had a great run, you know, since week 7, they're still giving up a ton of rush yards to their opponents. So I like the Lions moving back home in the cozy confines of the indoor Ford Field, I think, still.
Yep.
So I think Dan Campbell, I think he's going to have his team ready to go, especially after that horrible turd they laid down against Chicago last week. I'll take the Lions, drop the points. I know Vegas, and Vegas right now, 65.3% of the money is going on the Broncos. So Vegas likes the Broncos, or at least the money likes the Broncos. So should be a really fun game to watch Saturday night. I love it. Love it.
That game on Sunday for the Chiefs against New England, if Denver finds a way to win on Saturday night,
boy.
I think not just you, me, everybody here is going to be sweating it out the entire time. I mean, that might be the most tense game that Chiefs fans have had in a long time. A meaningful divisional game, and I mean divisional in terms of the standings, not playing a divisional opponent. A meaningful game this late in the year, it's usually wrapped up by this point. But, man, if Denver finds a way to win on the road, I think the alarm bells are sounding just a little bit. This next game I really hate to pick. Chicago on the road against Cleveland, who's 8-5. Joe Flacco versus Justin Fields. I can't really mock the Bears anymore. I can't. They have been very competitive over their last 5 games, nearly knocked off the Saints in New Orleans. Yes, they barely beat Carolina and Minnesota, but their only loss outside of that New Orleans games was on the road to Detroit, 31-26. And they just bounced back and beat him 2 weeks later by 15 points, as we just mentioned. Justin Fields, I think, is starting to make a case that if the Bears get, which they're going to, I shouldn't say if, they're going to get that number one overall pick despite being 5-8, because, of course, they have Carolina's pick, and Carolina's terrible. If they get that number one overall pick, you have some flexibility. If Justin Fields plays really well down the stretch, which I think when he's healthy and he's got pass catchers and he's got a little bit of help, this is a quarterback you don't want to let go. Like, I know you want Caleb Williams going 1-1 or Drake May going 1-1. They've got the flexibility of maybe taking a Marvin Harrison Jr. there, or they could trade the first overall pick and move down and get a lot of picks. But maybe Chicago doesn't want to do that. Maybe you capitalize now, go give Justin Fields your pass catcher, because I kind of like rolling with him right now. I really do. Cleveland, they are so hit and miss. As bad in the last couple weeks as getting thumped by the Rams in Denver, as good as taking Joe Flacco and throwing him in there against Jacksonville and pinging 31 points. They also beat Baltimore 5 weeks ago, 33-31. You never know what you're going to get from this offense and from this defense. That unpredictability makes me a little bit wary. And the way Justin Fields is playing, I think they can get it done on the road here. Now, the offense has not traveled that well of late. They only got 12 points against Minnesota, only got 17 against New Orleans. So it is unpredictable on Chicago's side as well, but I like the Bears. It's the first road team I'm taking of the week, and I'll go them +3 against a Browns team that's down to their fourth-string quarterback.
I think a lot of people are in your camp. A lot of people are buying into Justin Fields right now. 3 out of 4 of the last wins. Looked really good last week against the Lions. Man, I don't want to derail the conversation, but if I'm the Bears and I have that number one overall pick, and I'm probably going to have another top 10, top 5 pick, I mean, I'm calling the Chargers.
Ooh.
I'm calling the Chargers, and I'm saying, hey, I got Justin Fields is available. I got the 1. I got the 5. Give me Herbert. I mean, that's what I'm doing.
I'm the Bears. Offer. Wow.
I mean, you have to think about that.
You do.
I mean, where the Chargers are, they're going to be hiring a new coach.
And how tied up they are in money.
And where's Caleb Williams from? Out in L.A. I mean,
I never thought about that.
If I'm the Bears, and look, that's probably not going to happen. But you have that first overall pick. Mm-hmm. Plus, you have another high-quality top 10 pick. And you got Fields playing like this. I mean, that's what I'm doing. But I don't want to totally derail this conversation because it's fun to think about it. The Bears are sitting in a really good position right now, but I still don't think it's enough. I don't think the Bears going on the road against that Browns defense, even though that Browns defense has had a little slippage of late with some injuries, I think they can still contain Fields. And I think Flacco he has enough attention to detail and can orchestrate that offense well enough to come up. I think I'm going to take the Browns, and I'm going to lay the points here in this matchup.
It's going to be a close one. I really do think that. It's been a weird couple weeks in the NFL. Just there's no guaranteed picks, and this is another one right here. Lambeau Field, Buccaneers, and Packers. It is so hilarious to me with the NFC South that the Bucs have gone 3-6 over their last nine. They're in first place. How many teams do you think could go 3-6 over a nine-game stretch going back to October 15th, a two-month stretch, and be in first place? That's how bad this division is. Now, for Green Bay, we talked about this last week. They had the ability to go and run the table. Their schedule was so incredibly weak. They just had to go on the road on Monday Night Football and beat Tommy DeVito and the Giants, and they couldn't get it done. Lost on a game-winning field goal. To close out the year, they will take on two NFC South opponents, Minnesota with a backup quarterback, and Chicago on January 7th. It may come down to that Chicago game, depending what they do over these next three. They have not lost at Lambeau Field since October 29th. Okay, so they have won three in a row, two of those against AFC West opponents and the Chiefs and the Chargers. But this is a team that I think just plays differently at Lambeau, and that's been that way for Packers teams for years. When you have to go to Lambeau, frozen tundra, it's freezing. I just don't think that this is one of those spots where Tampa Bay can thrive. It's not going to be freezing. You're looking at, you know, low of 28, high of 40. It could be a lot colder. I've been there before. It gets a lot colder than that, and it feels a lot colder.
I was there in the NFC Championship game with the Packers playing the Giants.
Oh,
Brett Favre's
snow
last game.
Yeah.
It was like minus three.
Ooh.
Like temperature, not
and
wind chill.
Yeah, the wind chill.
And like you like have a beer and halfway through your beer it'd be frozen. And I'm not kidding. Like it was insane.
Need a
that was the Tom
warmer, an electric warmer.
Oh,
on
I had it all going. I mean the hot dam was flowing, but it gets brutal up there. It's gonna be balmy for December.
Balmy, yeah. It's probably wear a tank top. Some Wisconsin natives can wear a tank top to that game. This just doesn't feel like a good spot for Tampa. As much as I really do like Baker Mayfield, and by the way, he's not been bad this year. Like, he has had a very underrated year for Tampa.
Yeah.
20 touchdowns, 8 picks, 63%.
Great game-winning drive last week against the Falcons.
They just have not a lot of help around him, surprisingly, because Tom Brady had all that help. Mike Evans, he's been fantastic this year.
Shut down last week.
Chris Godwin's been hurt off and on. This is another spot for Green Bay, who I believe still holds a wild card spot. You trip up here, it is over. That's the end of the line. You lose it on the Tampa Bay, it is probably the end of the line. You're not grabbing a wild card spot. But I'll take Green Bay here. I like them in the points at home. They're at Lambeau Field. We saw the way they played against Kansas City, so I'll take them as the home favorite.
I'm with you. Matt LaFleur is now 6-1 and 16-1. 16-1 in December for his career. After losing to the Giants last week, by the way. So I think I like the way the Packers are going. I think they're going to get a lead early like they did against the Chiefs, and the Buccaneers just don't have the weapons to match that. So I like the Packers here. Vegas likes the Packers here. Almost 59% of the money on Green Bay minus the 3.5, and I'm on that side.
You know, what's funny to think when you had this, what have been 15-0 stretch for the Packers for Matt LaFleur going in December, and you had to pick which quarterback's going to beat them, Patrick Mahomes or Tommy DeVito. I would have loved to see the group that said, you know what, it is going to be Tommy DeVito.
Tommy Cutlets.
Love Tommy DeVito. And I can't wait to pick his game coming up here in a couple of spots. We got the Houston Texans and the Tennessee Titans AFC South matchup. The Titans and Will Levis, after their come-from-behind win in South Beach, are a three-point favorite against C.J. Stroud and Houston. Houston had their opportunity, I think, to, I don't want to say fully cement themselves, but just get them maybe inches within locking up a wild card spot. But they lose 30-6 to Zach Wilson. And my issue right now with Houston, all their top receivers are getting banged up. Tank Dell, Nico Collins, and this is what I think we all expected to happen to C.J. Stroud in year one. No, he's going to look fine, but a lot of mistakes because, you know, some guys just aren't going to take the next step, or guys are going to get banged up. And when guys got banged up, we saw a team as bad as the Jets just destroy them. 30-6 when facing Zach Wilson. That is jaw-dropping. But to me, Tennessee has kind of been one of those sleeper teams with Will Levis. I think Will Levis has played really well. He was made fun of in the draft. Nobody wanted him going high. They didn't think he was great coming out of college.
His girlfriend got more attention than he did on draft night.
The mayonnaise and the coffee, just...
weird dude.
It was more of a joke. And to me, I mean, he's got the build. I mean, he is a big dude.
Yeah.
He's a bodybuilder. And I think that could translate somewhat well to be a stopgap quarterback. I don't think they look at Will Levis as the future of the Titans.
But, like, he's a complete Vrabel guy. Like, that's you think of a Mike Vrabel team, like, that's the guy you think of playing this quarterback.
Yeah, I mean... Will Levis, I think, could be at least fun to watch to close out this year, and we'll see what he looks like to begin next year, because I think that's been the decision. I now wonder what they were thinking in taking Malik Willis when they never had a future for him. But Will Levis, I like him in this spot. I'm sure there could be a letdown when you have rookie quarterback versus rookie quarterback, but Houston's too banged up to close out this year. C.J. Stroud playing with a bunch of Jags, just the guys in the wide receiver core, if there's too many injuries. I'll take Tennessee here, another home favorite I like.
I think I'm with you on that. I think right now, a big part of me picking this game right now, C.J. Stroud did not practice yesterday. Mm-hmm. He's still in concussion protocol. I don't know if he's going to start. Just the fact that he might not, and Davis Mills could be their quarterback possibly, with that banged up wide receiver core that you're talking about, it's just too much for me to take these points, 3 points. Is it 2.5 or three?
Three and a half.
Regardless, I'm taking the Titans with a home win against the Houston Texans. I like Will Levis is an intriguing draft pick for the Titans. He could very well be their quarterback of the future.
Yeah.
They might give Tannehill a chance to come back as a backup, but I don't think there's any way he earns that spot back. I think, it's young quarterbacks from here on out for the Titans.
And for value, where they got him. I mean, it wasn't like they had to take him top five, something like that. He just fell right to Tennessee. Yep. They could take him in day two, which I'm sure they're thrilled with. Up next, a Jets team that just beat Houston 30-6 will be on the road against the Dolphins team that just lost to Tennessee. The Dolphins, an 8.5-point favorite. It is such a shame. No, it's not a shame. If you are a Miami fan, it's a shame that they're only 9-4 with arguably the weakest schedule I've ever seen a team play. I mean, here's just some of the teams they've gotten to go face. Chargers, Patriots, Giants, Carolina, New England again, of course, Vegas, Jets, Washington, Tennessee. Now, they have gotten Kansas City, Philadelphia, Buffalo, and Denver in those stretches, but what did they do in those games? 1-3. So against good teams, which that more so is a conversation for the playoffs, they're not very good. Against bad teams, they usually beat up on them. Until last week when they lost to Tennessee 28-27. There's no way Zach Wilson can do this two times in a row, can he? There's no way the Jets can do this on the road. At home, maybe I think a little bit differently. But now that I think about it, the last time they won a road football game was the Giants on October 29th. Long, long time ago. They have two road wins this year.
Denver, does that really even count?
Giants. It doesn't, because they leave,
They're playing in their own stadium.
The last true road win was October 8th. So I think I'll just go with those odds there. Miami's not going to slip up 2 weeks in a row. They usually just beat the hell out of bad teams. The Jets are a bad football team. Give me the Dolphins at the points.
I'm on the other side. That's too many points. That's too many points. 8.5 points, especially if Tyreek Hill, who didn't practice yesterday, is out, because that offense did not look good without him on the field. I don't know if the Jets have enough in them to pull up the straight-up upset on the road, but 8.5 is too many points. I think it's going to be a close matchup, and... look, I'm not quite yet buying into the Zach Wilson hype, but, I mean, he's just good enough to keep the team competitive. And I think that's what he'll do here on the road against the Dolphins. So give me the Fins. Give me the Jets on the road, and I'll take all 8.5 points because they're going to need them.
Speaking of big spreads, your Kansas City Chiefs on the road in Foxborough against Bailey Zappe and the Patriots. We're probably going to run out of time for three keys, so let's just do it right now for this game. If the Chiefs do not have Isaiah Pacheco, which he didn't practice last week, I'm not really concerned about the running game. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, as much heat as we give him, was fine. He was absolutely fine. Jerick McKinnon was fine. It was the costly mistakes late in the game. I would like to say this is that wide receiver game to just get the confidence going. I love it when you see Rashee Rice, you know, right after the fumble, get the swing pass, take it for 12. You know, targeting guys that can get open, make plays. But Rashee Rice is the only guy that wants the football. Did Sky Moore even have a target? Maybe one against the Bills. MVS, I think, had a catch or two, and we know what Kadarius Toney did. This is the game that I feel like you can try to get that confidence up. Throw the football 40 times in this game. Really, I would love to see the Chiefs air it out in this one. Get some confidence. You know you can run the football. Pacheco's not there. I would love to see the Chiefs air out the football. Defensively, you know, I guess I could just make it very simple and say don't let it happen like Aiden O'Connell or Jordan Love, where a guy gets into a rhythm, the scheme fits them. But also, the weapons that Bailey Zappe has are non-existent. There's nobody really can throw the football to. They can't run the football. The only thing that makes it weird is this game's in Foxborough. And we saw the Buffalo Bills go into Foxborough this year and be one of the Patriots' three wins. This is a good spot for the Chiefs, though, because you're coming off that loss. If they had beaten Buffalo, maybe it's the hangover of, okay, we're back on track. Yeah, we're overlooking New England. I know we said they wouldn't overlook Buffalo. There's no way in hell they overlook New England. And even if they do in the first quarter, this Patriots team is not good enough. I'm not buying the win they had against Pittsburgh. They have been putrid for the entire season. They had 30 total points before the Pittsburgh game last Thursday. 30 total points over the last four games. It terrible, terrible, terrible team. And there is some, you know, rumors swirling of, is this Bill Belichick's last year? The Chiefs can go and just have a meat necklace game. Go wipe the Patriots off the face of the earth. This spread, I wish it was bigger because I am going to hammer it here. I do not think the Chiefs struggle with New England. Give me a 34-10 drubbing that they have against Bailey Zappe.
I agree with all those points. I think for me, the biggest key to this victory and Chiefs moving forward is not turning the ball over. You look at the games they've lost this season, big turnovers and bad spots, losing the turnover battle last week, losing the turnover battle against the Packers. Just the debacle in Denver was five turnovers there. You know, they had the pick six against the Lions, Kelsey's big fumble against the Eagles. Like, those are big mistakes. Those are crucial timing, too, for those turnovers. It's, you know, Rice last week, bad fumble. So I think for me, even just moving forward, because I don't think the threat of losing this game, but taking care of the ball is,
yeah,
has got to be.
Need a clean game.
Yeah, it's got to be the first thing. Moving the ball, you know, having consistency, it's been there. They just haven't been able to finish lately, but it's gotten better the last three. You know, look, they're coming off three of four losses. So taking care of the ball, looking consistent on offense, because I feel like they have been getting better on third and short, which is a big issue early in the season. They've gotten better. They've had better play calls. Pacheco not being available, it hurts. Like that, it's not just that. It's an attitude that guy runs with that really sparks that offense. So, you know, that's something to watch. So I'm going to definitely lay in the points. I think when I look at this game, I think it's something going to be like 28-13 Chiefs.
Yeah. And if New England could even get 13 points, I mean, I'd still kind of be a little bit impressed because outside of last week, they couldn't score the football,
yeah,
whether it was Mac Jones or Bailey Zappe. Next game on the schedule, Tommy DeVito, Tommy Cutlets as we call him, on the road in the Big Easy against the New Orleans Saints. The Saints, a 6-point favorite. Saints are still playing for a division here, 6-7. They're going to need Tampa to lose on the road against Green Bay, and they're going to need the Falcons to lose on the road to Carolina, who we'll pick next. But this one in the Superdome against Tommy DeVito, Giants have won three in a row. There certainly is new life around the Giants. Now, the defense playing a lot better, offense looks smooth, and New Orleans, they snapped the streak, the losing streak, I should say, against Carolina last week. They didn't have a losing streak against Carolina. They had a three-game losing streak on the season, but they beat Carolina 28-6. They beat an XFL team. They didn't really beat a true NFL team. I like the Giants hanging around here. I really, really do. That 6-point spread is too big for a football team that's not good. I was really high on the Saints coming into the year. Dennis Allen is a terrible head coach. Not a fan of Brandon Staley, not a fan of Dennis Allen. So give me Tommy Cutlets plus 6 on the road in the Superdome.
Yep, I'm on that side too. I'm going to take the Giants plus the 6 points. What a weird season for the Saints. They're 6-7, and they still have a legitimate chance to win the NFC South. But Derek Carr not looking good, arguing with his center, shouting match last week in the win over the Panthers. So I like what the Giants are doing, and it's so hard not to like what Tommy DeVito and the life that he's injected into the Giants season. So give me the Giants, all 6 points. I'll take them.
I would love to see the Tommy DeVito train roll on into the end of the season. Now we got another NFC South matchup. The Falcons, yep, still in the hunt against the 1-12 Panthers. Falcons, a 3-point favorite. Not even wasting my time. Carolina sucks. They have nothing to play for. Give me the Falcons minus the points on the road.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Panthers are just a debacle. I mean, from the time they fired their coach, what would give you any reason to think that the Panthers could pull off this upset? I mean, the Falcons, you know, they blew the game against the Bucs last week, but I don't see the Panthers being able to take advantage of the Falcons here. I'm going to take the Falcons, and I'm going to lay the 3 points.
Up next, we got the Rams at 6-7 at home against Washington. The Rams a 6.5-point favorite, the total at 50.5. I like the Rams here. I really like the way the offense showed out against Baltimore. They should have won that game. Defense couldn't get off the field. They're not facing as elite of an offense they saw in Baltimore. Washington, I kind of like betting with them in the first 6 to 7 weeks of the year. They've been disastrous since 4-9. They're going to have a top five pick, I believe, in the upcoming NFL draft. So give me the Rams here at home minus the points.
Yeah, the Rams are an interesting. They're a gritty team, but their special teams completely let them down last week against the Ravens. They're going to really have to fight over the next 4 weeks because I mean they're still in the discussion, they're still in the talks of that last playoff spot. But the Commanders, man, they lost 4 in a row before their bye, and they have the NFL's worst defense. I think Matt Stafford and company will put up probably 30-plus points here on the Commanders. So give me the Rams minus 6.5.
I think the Rams could still have a chance to be a dangerous team in the postseason. You get Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, and Kyron Williams. There are a lot of weapons for Matt Stafford to maybe go on another run in the postseason like he did 2 years ago. Once again, the Niners are a double-digit favorite, 12.5 over Arizona in Glendale. I'm just going to keep rolling with San Francisco. I think the 49ers hammer him. What say you, Jake?
Yeah, there's nothing redeeming about the Cardinals. It's just their season's a wash. I'm taking the Niners. Usually I would never take a double-digit line. But look, the 49ers are right now the best team in the league. They have the highest offensive success rate of any team. I'd take the Niners easily and lay those points. I think it's going to be a blowout.
This one's going to be a blast. The Dallas Cowboys and the MVP frontrunner Dak Prescott in Orchard Park against the Buffalo Bills. The Bills a 2-point favorite. I would usually say this is a game Dak Prescott struggles. He hasn't for a long, long time. Buffalo, yes, still desperate to get in the postseason, but I like Dallas' offense in this spot. It's a much different offense they faced even last week against Kansas City, so I'll take the boys.
Yeah, this game is a coin flip. I did not give the Cowboys enough credit last week going into the Eagles game. They earned every bit of it. I'm going to take the Bills just because I think the Bills, coming off the win against the Chiefs, have their back against the wall. They're playing at home. If they could pick up one of the games in the next 3 weeks, I think that matchup with the Dolphins will be for the division possibly. So give me the Bills minus 1.5.
And the last two right here, Baltimore on the road against Jacksonville. Eventually, Jacksonville has to get right. Who is Trevor Lawrence going to be healthy? You know what? I think I'll take the upset here. I think the Jags get it done. Back on track, plus 3 against the Ravens.
Wow. I love this game, by the way.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be great. I just don't think the Jacksonville Jaguars are such a hard team to read. They're so up and down, so hot and cold. So I don't feel confident against the Ravens, but it's a hard game to pick because they definitely could pull off this upset. So I'm gonna lay the points and take the Ravens at the Jags.
And last one here, interesting Monday night game. Philly, who's kind of limping into this one against another limping team, Seattle Seahawks. Eagles are a 4-point favorite. Seattle's lost 4 in a row. They've also been huge underdogs last 2 weeks against the Niners, and the Cowboys covered in both of them. I have Seattle here at home, a huge upset against a struggling Philly team.
Wow. Yeah. The Seahawks are fighting for their lives, but the Eagles, I think they could take advantage of the Cowboys losing to the Bills if that's to happen.
Yep.
This team is veterans all over this team with a lot of experience, I don't foresee them dropping another one. I mean, if they are, they have completely spun out. So I'm going to take the Eagles, and I'm going to lay the 3.5 points.
Well, that has been our Running the Spread segment that we do every single Thursday, pick all the games on the NFL slate. And it all begins tonight, an AFC West duel between the Raiders and the Chargers. Aiden O'Connell and the Easton Stick, if you're into sick football. Could be a defensive masterpiece once again when involving one of these two teams. A lot of turnovers I am anticipating tonight, but you never know on Thursday Night Football. There is Ray Charles, so it's time to go. That wraps up another edition of The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. I've been your host, Jack Johnson, alongside producer Jake Gutierrez. We'll wrap up the week tomorrow at 10 AM. You take it easy, Kansas City.
No more, hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more.
Oh, woman, treat me so mean, you're the meanest old woman I've